So we're real excited that you can join us here for this really cool player game. Pray and Bones, I said, so we've got people going out into the community right now praying over homes, and we're really excited about this ministry. This is a ministry that all of us can do together. You can pray in your own neighborhood, we'll give you the door name. But what we want to do is we want to take you through a time of prayer. Prayer is communicating with God. That's all that prayer is. And so we're going to take you through. So if you got your Bible, grab your Bible. If you got your phone, bring up these texts on your phone. And if you want a copy of all these texts, we can get them to you. But our goal is to really help equip you to understand prayer. Okay? So the first thing we're going to talk about, we want to pray for family and friends. Right? We all have family, we all have friends that are going through difficult times. We have family and friends that don't know the joy of following Jesus. So we want to pray for them. We have friends that we work with. And it says this in Romans 12:12-13. It says, be constant in prayer, be faithful in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Can I tell you what a key in prayer is? It's being faithful. It's doing it every day. It's like brushing your teeth. You wouldn't go to work or to school without brushing your teeth. Every day you have to brush your teeth. Every day you need to begin your day in prayer. Pray for your family. Pray for your family's protection. Pray for your family's safety. Pray that your family, who doesn't know the joy of following Jesus, would come to know the joy of following Jesus. So I want to encourage you, write this down, Romans 12:12-13, and actually we're all going to go to verse 9 if you want to. But I want to encourage you, begin your day, pray for your family, pray for your friends, whether they're at work, whether they're your neighbors, you need to be in prayer every day. So even when you brush your teeth, you can pray. You can pray in your mind, Lord, I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm praying for my children and my grandchildren. I'm praying for my spouse. I'm praying for my neighbor. I'm praying for the people God has brought into my sphere of influence. So let's do that right now, all right? I want you, wherever you are right now, I want you to pray for your families. Let's pray together. Father, we pray for our families. Some of those family members are in our household. Some of them are across the country. Some may be across the world. We know that some of them, Lord, are graduating, some are moving, some are taking new jobs, some are having babies, getting married, some are desiring to have babies, some are desiring to have married. But you know that those family members who are going through difficult times right now, those who are lonely, those who are sad, Father, we just lift up all of our family members, whether they're newborn babies or, Lord, whether they're parents or grandparents or great-grandparents. Father, we pray your blessing and your protection on them. Lord, we pray that we would pray for our families like we brush our teeth every day, all the time. Father, we just thank you for our family. We thank you for our friends. We thank you for those people in our lives, Lord. And we just ask for your blessing upon them. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Another thing that, you know, we're called to pray for in Scripture is to pray for church leaders. And we've got great leaders. We've got elders. We've got staff members. We've got volunteers. And we're called to pray for them, that they would seek the wisdom of God, that they would know what God's leading is in this. And a couple of texts for you here. Ephesians 6:18 says, making supplication for the saints. Pray for the people of God. Pray for your church. Pray for Three Chambers if you're a part of another church. Pray for that church. Pray for your former church. Pray for the people of God, that God's wisdom would fall fresh on them. In 1 Peter 5:2, it says, pray for those who shepherd the flock. Pray for our elders. Pray for our staff. Pray for me. Pray that we would have God's wisdom as we try to equip so that we can engage in the kingdom ministry that God has called us to. And in James 3:1, it says this, for you know that those who you teach will be judged with greater strictness. When someone hears the calling to serve in vocational ministry, whether that is an elder, whether that is a pastor, whether that is a staff member, there is a calling that comes with that before God, that we're going to be held to a standard. And so we want to ask you to pray for our amazing staff, our amazing elder, that God's wisdom would fall fresh upon them. Pray if you're again, you're part of another church. Pray for your elders. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your staff. Pray for your former church. You may have left. Maybe it wasn't in the best circumstances, or maybe it was just time to transition to a new church. Pray for your church. Pray for your former church. Pray for pastors. Pray for elders. Pray for deacons. Pray for staff members. Pray for volunteers. But pray for those that God has called and equipped to help equip the saints to do the work of God. These are powerful texts that God. I hope that you're writing these down so that your prayer life can be enhanced by praying with Scripture. There is prayer, and then praying with Scripture is even more powerful than that. So we prayed for families and friends, and now we want to pray for the church. We pray with you. Father, we thank you for those who hear the vocational call, whether that would be elders or pastors or staff or deacons or volunteers or those that have been equipped and those that have been called, Lord, to serve in your ministry. Father, would you bless them? Would you keep the evil one at bay? Would you protect their families, Lord? Would you give them wisdom beyond their own understanding, Lord, on how to shepherd, how to lead? Father, would you have them submit to your authority, your divine authority, Lord, in all things? Father, we often don't pray for our leaders. We just expect them to do things. And Lord, we know that leaders are imperfect people, and they make mistakes too. They make the wrong choice or the wrong way to say something. Father, we thank you for our staff. We thank you for Garrett and all he does in loving our children. We pray for him. We pray for Brittany and how she just engages our middle school and high school, Lord. We ask you to pray for her. Lord, we thank you for Rick and all he does with the business of the church. So we ask that you would be with him and pray for him. Lord, I pray for all of our worship folks. We thank you for Grant, Lord, and the wisdom you've given him. And we pray for our worship team, because, Lord, they do an amazing job. Father, we pray for our elders. We pray for Cindy. We pray for Jeb. And we pray for Deb. And we pray for Curtis, Lord, that you would grant them wisdom as they shepherd the church. And Lord, I would humbly ask for prayers for me, Lord, that I can get out of the way. And Lord, that you would lead. And Lord, that we would follow. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the toughest things sometimes to do is to pray for people in authority. Particularly, maybe you may not agree with the person that's in authority. Maybe it's a supervisor, maybe it's a boss, maybe it's an elected official, and maybe you don't agree with them. And honestly, that's wrong. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who is in a position of authority, because it's God who puts people in positions of authority. And it's our job to pray for them. Whether they are a believer or an unbeliever, our job is to pray for those that God has deemed worthy to be in a position of authority. And we don't know God's plan. Maybe they're there because they're called to lead in a powerful, positive way. Or maybe they're there because God's got a greater kingdom purpose for people that we don't know about. But it says in Romans 13:1, that every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that have existed have been instituted by God. See, we need to be, as Christians, we need to submit to the authority that is in our world today. That means you go to speed limit. That means you obey the laws that are of the land. Because God is the only real authority, and God has instituted people to be in places and positions of authority. And it's our job to pray for those people in authority. Whether you agree with them being authority, whether you think they should be in authority, whether you voted for them to be in authority, it does not matter. We're called to pray for those in positions of authority. It says this in 1 Timothy 2:1-2. I urge you that prayers be made for all people, for kings and for all in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So it's not optional, friends. We are commanded to pray for those in authority. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to even like them, but you got to pray for them, because that's what it means to be a Christ follower, to pray for those, whether it's state, local, national, international. We need to be praying for our leaders. That is what being a Christ follower is. So let's do that. Let's pray for those in authority right now. Join me in prayer. Father, we pray for those in positions of authority, Lord, whether they be our direct supervisor at work, whether it be, Lord, the principals and teachers of our schools. We pray for our local authorities, our national leaders, our international leaders. Lord, we pray for your wisdom, Lord, upon our state leaders. Lord, we pray for our governor. We pray, Lord, for all of those who are serving in the Unicarma. Lord, we pray for those that are in our Senate and Congress. We pray, Lord, for our president. We pray, Lord, for those in authority in the military. We pray for local law enforcement, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. Lord, that they would see the power of your truth, Lord, that they would submit to your authority, Lord. You are awesome, Lord. You are amazing, Lord. We know that ultimately you are sovereign and you are in charge and that you have placed people in positions of authority. And Lord, you have a greater kingdom purpose, one that we cannot see. So, Father, we pray, whether we have voted for or like those in authority, Lord, we're going to pray for them. Because you have called us. So, Father, we pray for all of those in positions of authority. We ask this in the name of One of the things that all of us have probably learned in prayer over the last few years is to pray for those who are weak, those who are struggling. So many of us have been impacted by COVID. Maybe you've had COVID, or someone in your family has had COVID, or somebody at your work, in your neighborhood, your church. We all know people that have had COVID, and we know the effects that COVID has. And we know that people who are struggling with cancer, we know people that are struggling with loneliness. People are struggling. People are dealing with a lot of things in life. Some people have lost a loved one in the last year, and it's very lonely. Some people are in the position of not knowing where that next job is going to come from. Some people are trying to figure out how to make that marriage that is really struggling right now become whole again. Some people struggle with children graduating as it's graduation season. Some people are struggling really with family situations or desiring a family. But we know that all people are struggling, and we need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for those people that are going through difficult times. It says this in James. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let the elders pray over you. So one, if you're struggling, I'd encourage you to ask God for his grace and his mercy and his wisdom and his will in your life. We talked about that last week. Praying for God's will in your life. The second thing is ask other people to pray for you. Ask your family, ask your friends, ask your church. Ask the church to come and have the elders lay hands on you. Ask the church to come and anoint your head with oil. I've done this before, and it is incredibly powerful when that happens. But friends, we need to be praying for each other. We all have stuff, right? We've talked about this so often. Every one of us is a hot mess. Every one of us. We all have challenges. We all have failures. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I fall short a lot, and I need prayer. And we need to be praying for people. We need to be praying for those who are going through difficult times. And you may not even know the people in your life who are going through difficult times, but we're called to pray for them. So I want to encourage you that if you're local and you want our elders to pray for you, we'll pray for you. We'll come here, or we'll come to you, and we'll pray. If you want us to anoint your head, we'll do that. And if you're not local, I would encourage you to have people pray for you. So let's pray for those who are going through difficulties, those who are struggling. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to pray more for the hurting. We know those who are dealing with COVID and cancer and loneliness and loss. Father, we pray that your comfort would surround them, Lord, because our words just fall short. We pray, Lord, for those who are going through with a difficult diagnosis. We pray, Lord, for those who are just in need right now of just a friend, someone to reach out, someone to call upon them, someone to just love on them. Father, we pray for those whose diagnosis is troubling. We pray for those who are dealing with health issues or financial issues or marital issues. We pray, Lord, for those who are hurting, Lord, in some form or fashion. Lord, would you bring healing? Lord, would you bring hope? As only you can. And Lord, we pray for those that need that extra prayer, Lord, that they would come forth and we would lay hands on them. We pray for those who need to be anointed with oil, Lord, that they would take that step. We pray, Lord, for those who can't be with us here, that they would have those in their life that could begin to pray for them. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know, Lord. One other thing that's really hard to pray for sometimes is to pray for unbelievers. Now, why do I say that's hard? Because sometimes unbelievers, without knowing the joy of Jesus, will act in ways that can be very hurtful or harmful to you and to me. But we're called to pray for those who don't know the joy of Jesus. That's why we're doing this today. That's why we've got people out in the neighborhoods here around the Stumble Inn, because how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, as we said. We want people to know the hope of Jesus. And we need to pray for unbelievers. That's why we're praying over every house in Bennington. That is our goal over the next couple of years. Every house will be prayed over. We're not doing it to grow the church. We're doing it to grow the kingdom, because we want, as it says there in Romans, God wants people to know him. And so that's what we're trying to do. And sometimes it's hard to pray for unbelievers, because as it says in Romans 12, bless those who persecute you. We need to pray for those people. Maybe we don't treat us well. Sometimes that's family, sometimes that's friends, sometimes that's strangers. But we need to pray for that, even though they persecute us. In Luke 6, it says, love your enemy. And that's hard, right? We all have those people that they just seem to go out of their way sometimes to hurt us and be mean to us. We need to pray for them. Revenge is not ours. Revenge is the Lord, right? So our job is to pray for other people. And it says in Luke 6, 46 through 49, it says, but the one who hears and does not do this is like the man who built a house on the ground without the right foundation. We can't be a Christ follower if we are not praying for those who don't know Jesus. So I want to encourage you, pray for unbelievers. Pray for those unbelievers in your life, maybe in your home, in your neighborhood, at your job. Pray for unbelievers. Let's do that right now. We pray with us. Father, we pray for those who right now don't know your joy. We pray for those who persecute us. We pray for those, Lord, who may hurt us. We pray for those, Lord, who maybe that we have an adversarial relationship with. Father, I would just ask, Lord, we would pray for those who hurt us. And Lord, that we would know, Lord, you have a great plan for them, Lord, that we can be that conduit of your joy, of your love, of your truth. Father, thank you that we have the privilege to pray, because, Lord, at one time we were enemies of you when we didn't know you. So, Father, we pray for those people, Lord, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The last thing that we're going to pray about is for ourselves. And you may have noticed the order that we went in is that we're going to pray for ourselves. Yes, it's important that we pray for other people before ourselves. It's important that we pray for the church and its leaders before ourselves. It's important that we pray for those in authority before ourselves. It's important that we pray for the weak before ourselves. It's important that we pray for unbelievers before we pray for ourselves. It's important then finally that we pray for ourselves. But what should we pray for? As we talked about last week, we want to pray for God's will in any situation in our life. But it says in Ephesians 13, 14 through 24, that we will be strengthened. Pray that God would give you the strength that you need to walk the way that you're on. Pray that God would be with you, and pray that you would feel the presence of God. And in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread. You know, we can't live tomorrow, and we can't go back and live yesterday. We can only live today. Pray that God would give us all that we need just to get through today. The Bible says, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. God will give you our daily bread. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can pray. This prayer is just communicating with you. Father, we pray for the needs of every one of us, Lord, whether that's health or wisdom or jobs or marriage or careers, whatever it may be, Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, strengthen us. We pray, Lord, that you would give us this day our daily bread. Father, we love you. Father, we need you. Father, we're so humbled that we get to talk to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And it's important to pray in the name of Jesus, because you have that personal relationship with Jesus, that you're not just letting words flutter away. You're saying, in the name of Jesus. There is no more powerful name than the name of Jesus. Friends, I want to encourage you. Reread these texts. Read them when you pray today. Read them aloud and then pray them for the specific groups that we talked about. As we pray for family and friends and church leaders and the unbelievers and those in leadership and those hurting, and then follow it yourself. We are a church that believes in prayer. If you need prayer on something, you can email us at prayers@3timbers.org and know that you will be prayed for. If we can come where you are and pray over you, because you can't come to us, we will come and we will pray for you. Friends, I want to let you know that next week, we're still going to be streaming live, but we're going to be doing it from the Ridgewood Retirement Home here in Bennington. There's a car show that's happening here outside of Stumbling, so we don't have access, but we're excited to be able to go and be with our friends at Ridgewood, and we're going to have a great time. So join us online if you can't join us in person. And then on June 3rd, the weekend of June 3rd, we're going to be up at the high school here in Bennington for community worship, where our brothers and sisters in Christ from St. John's Church and Crossover Church will join us. So it's a really cool experience where all of the churches in Bennington will come together, and we're going to praise God on Pentecost. How cool is that? Friends, I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you know that you are prayed for and that you are loved. If we can do anything to serve you and pray for you, I want you to know we're going to do it. All right? I'm going to close this in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. I pray for those who are watching online, Lord, that they would know the power of prayer, that they would know the power of your truth. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We'll look to talk to you soon. Bye-bye.